Okay, gentlemen, let's learn a little bit. Okay, we are up to Simon Tov Kuf Yud Aleph. We are on top of page 256. We learned yesterday that there is a halacha that a person who wishes to create a fire for washing himself, he's allowed to do so as long as he is only washing his hands, his feet, or his face. However, if he's kol gufo, it's also, the reason being that Chazal have restricted to do melachas tzorchel nefesh if it is not shavu lechol nefesh. So that's the rule, gentlemen. Shavu lechol nefesh, you must be equally enjoyed, benefited. If it's not for everybody, then you can't do it. Right. Okay. Talking about washing oneself a little bit more, says the Shulchan Aruch, top of page 256. What happens though if the water has been preheated before Yom Tov? What's the halacha then? Because, as we mentioned yesterday, the issue what we have discussed so far was the issue of heating up water on Yom Tov. So there we make a distinction if it's Shavu Lechol Nefesh or not. However, if the water is not being heated on Yom Tov, surely you'd argue that it's fine. Water which was heated before Yom Tov, what's the problem? And you want to, you know, it was kept warm, you want to wash yourself on water which was preheated before Yom Tov. Yeah? 3 days Yom Tov, you want to have a bit of a shower. So, the answer is no. It's true that as far as cooking is concerned, as far as Havor is concerned, you should be fine. Because you're not doing Melach on Yom Tov. But, there is an additional restriction, which is known as the restriction of Gzeiras Mechatz. And this is the details of this Gzeir, of this rabbinical restriction of showering on Yom Tov. Havor b'mayim shuchmu me'ev Yom Tov. Motelichot kol gufo alofike echot. Yes. Water which has been heated before Yom Tov, you're allowed to wash everything simultaneously. You're allowed to. Miu, however, tavke chutz lemechatz. If it's outside of a bathhouse, havor be mechatz in a bathhouse, also it is also. So the Shulchan Aruch makes a distinction between in a bathhouse and outside of a bathhouse. In a bathhouse, there's an issur d'rabbanon. Outside of a bathhouse, it's fine. What's the difference? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Tes Zayin. Sif Katan Yud Zayin. Also, the Osur Chachamim Rechitza B'Mechatz. The Chachamim have forbidden Rechitza washing yourself B'Mechatz in a bathhouse. Mishum Gzeiras HaBalonim. Because of the Gzeira, the rabbinical restriction of Balonim, the bathhouse people. What's that? Attendants. That's it. Thank you. Shoyim Zalzalim Bazeh. They were overly lenient when he came to the baths. So we remember, of course, that there used to be public bathhouses. That's how they used to wash in public bathhouses. So it used to be quite common that so people would go, I don't know, weekly, monthly to the bathhouse to wash themselves. Yes. So the problem was that there was at times, the Gemara tells us, there was problems of the, it was too cold or perhaps too hot, and therefore what they would do, the people who were responsible, the attendants, they would sometimes have to deal with the heat, with the temperature of the water, add cold water or create more heat within the water. Unfortunately, they were sometimes not God fearing, they didn't have sufficient Yirat Shemayim, but they would sometimes do this on Shabbos and Yom Tov too. And therefore, Chachamim said, well, if that's the case, we've got to make a rabbinical restriction, which is known as the Gzeiras Balonim, and we categorically forbid going to bathhouses on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Categorically, because lest the attendant may do something which is also on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Gzeiras Mechatz. Now, because of that, bathhouses are restricted. So here we are learning that to go in a bathhouse on Yom Tov is also because of a separate gzeira. You may not have a bath on Yom Tov in a bathhouse because of rabbinical restriction. The Ramah goes one step further, and the Ramah says, "V'yesh oisim b'chol inim v'chenoyakin." The Ramah says, "Well, you would have perhaps hoped and thought that, well, that's true with regards to a bathhouse, but in my private house, I can do whatever I want. There is no gzeira of the attendant of the gzeiras mechatz." Comes the Ramon, he says, no, the gzeira is stretched far enough that even you, in your private house, you may not have a bath or a shower because of the gzeiras mechatz. So he goes that far. No, they didn't, yeah. Yeah. Very good question. Yeah. Yeah, good question. Rabbi Yossi is asking, we understand that Ramos says it's also even beyond public bathhouses. But what existed in the Ramah's times beyond the public bath?
Lakes and ponds, or does it mean
people didn't have private showers in their flat.
Maybe the very wealthy rural scene.
Maybe he's referring to those extremely wealthy individuals. Yeah, perhaps. It's an interesting question. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Tzivkot Yudches v'yesh oisim b'cholim." The Sviralu, the Ein Chiluk bein Shabbos liyom tov also chitz biyom tov k'may b'Shabbos. So now chitz is always categorically also. But now comes the brackets which we've got to look at, and this is a widely applied leniency. For dafke kol gufoy ke'echot, this restriction is only if a person washes the entire body simultaneously. Havol eva, but limb after limb. According to all opinions, permitted. Right. So here comes an important kula. So whilst we have got a very great stringency, and the stringency is, the Ramah says, that it's always also bathhouses and non-bathhouses are also because of gzeiras mechatz. And we understand and we appreciate that there is a gzeiras mechatz, a rabbinical restriction. But here in these brackets, a very non, you'd have thought perhaps, you wouldn't have expected such a massive kula, such a important kula in squared brackets in the middle of Mishnah Berurah, comes a very important and essential leniency. He says, yes, the gzeiras mechatz is only when you're having a shower for your entire body.
Bathing
your whole body. But, immersing the whole body. That's right. It's not talking about a bath. Yeah.
A shower is a kalevut separately by definition.
Very good. But if it is not your entire body, if it's Ava, parts of the body separately and individually, then the Gzeiras Mechatz doesn't apply. Gzeiras Mechatz is only something that, you immerse your whole body in the water, that's Gzeiras Mechatz. For that, Chachamim forbade, and he said, perhaps it's going to lead to the attendants messing up Yom Tov. Yeah, but if you're just having a single body part, the Gzeiras doesn't apply. Why is this? Yeah. Oh, the mikveh is going to be discussed in a minute. Yeah, so the answer to your question is Ava, you've got to identify both problems. So there's two problems with the shower. One is on Yom Tov, one is Gzeiras Mechatz. Gzeiras Mechatz, which I've said now, is not a problem Ava. The additional problem which we had was to heat up water on Yom Tov. But here again, we're addressing water which was preheated before Yom Tov. So if you've got a boiler which, for a very practical application, if you've got a boiler which had water which was heated up before Yom Tov, and you are able to disable the heating of, if there's such a thing, that you don't heat up the water which...
Yes,
so there's no fresh water, cold water, which goes back into the boiler which gets heated on Yom Tov. So if you can avoid that heating taking place on Yom Tov, and the water which you're using is water which was preheated before Yom Tov, in principle, you could enjoy that. So now, with regards to Ava, there's an important application. I discussed this once with the Dayan afterwards. I emailed that to the Gates thereof. Well, the current Dayan Gona Bezin of the I emailed him once and I said, well, it's very nagia for 3 days Yom Tov. So how does Eva work? Could you do Eva and then do your whole body? Yeah, you are in, let's say, a shower would be good application. Let's say you have a cold shower. Let's say you have a freezing cold shower. And you want to shower, or you have water which is preheated before Yom Tov, and you know it's not going to get heated on Yom Tov. So could you do Eva? You wash one part of the body. Well, if you only wash various separate parts of the body, say you only want to wash your feet, or he only wants to wash his hands, or he only wants to wash his face, that's for sure fine. Kseres mechitz doesn't apply, and heating up water doesn't apply, so that's both fine. But what if you want to do your entire body like that? Would that be okay? You go first one part of the body, which is the face, and then you carry on with, until you do your entire body. Eva. Would that work? Would that work? Eva. Would that work? In the 9 days. Some applied it for the 9 days. Yeah.
It's probably better to do it, if you're going to do it, probably better to do it on Yom Tov, not Shabbos.
Absolutely.
Possibly better to do it on the second day.
Absolutely. You're spot on.
Is that what
you
said?
Yeah. So he said on the first day Yom Tov, it wasn't Matia at all. But this second day Yom Tov, if there's a great Tzorech, he said Eva would be, if it's real great Tzorech, then on second day Yom Tov one could do that. Based on this halach that we saw now, these squared brackets, that Eva is not, Xeris Mechitz doesn't apply when it comes to Eva. I must say that there is an element of, I don't know how you, practically speaking, Eva, because...
Why didn't he matter Eva on day one?
I don't remember, this is years ago. I don't remember if he explained, I doubt that he did explain. If he did explain, then I forgot. There is a bit of, I just feel I want to add my own personal thought, perhaps, that there's a big distinction. When we talk about Eva, what are we talking about over here? Bath, shower, what are we talking about? Public bath, right? And what would a person do? He'd literally go and only wash, let's say, his feet, right? Perhaps you'd, I don't know, you can't do really. I'm saying, however, when we talk about Eva, talking about a shower, it's a bit different to the Eva in a shower, because that's the normal way of having a shower, I suppose, right? That it's not like a bath where you immerse your entire body. The shower, by definition, is intrinsically Eva. Kind of, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it depends, obviously, on... Exactly, so I'm saying it's a bit more of an issue then. But I suppose it's a bit more of an issue because the whole call of Eva may apply in the conventional sense where you immerse only part of your body. But I'm saying with a shower, which is intrinsically...
You can still do Eva in a shower.
You say that it's still...
Under the shower, it fools you completely. Like I say, a tisha coming from a mikveh, that would help. So you would... But that is immersing, it's as if you're immersing.
Right, but...
So you put one arm in, another arm in. Take
the shower. Right. Point taken. As opposed to, yeah, that's right. Okay, point taken, yeah. So I suppose that you could do Eva with the shower as well. All right, okay. It wasn't just mine. So the Maisa, Halacha, the Maisa, we've got over here a big and important leniency that the Gzeiras Mechatz, which is very important Gzeira, is not, Chachomim did not forbid Gzeiras Mechatz when you're doing Eva. That's what Mishnah Berurah says in this unassuming little square brackets, there's a call of Eva. Yes, indeed, and we applied for the 9 days as well at times.
So when you say Eva, let's say you take a hand and a shower. You do your whole body, you do as much Eva. Hand, leg.
So really, it's the latter. Really, it's the latter. The words of the Mishnah Berurah is "V'dafka kol gufei ke'echot." You're not allowed to wash your entire body simultaneously. Aval Eva, but separate parts of the body. Lekula alma kunut all opinions moteliachot you're allowed to wash. Separate parts of the body. Right, now, moving on to the topic of the mikveh that you're mentioning, which is Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Nutes. The continuation of Sifkot Yudches, it addresses babies, that is more lenient. In Sifkot Yudches, we have a second wide line. If a woman is due to, it's just a general halach of toveling mikveh on Yom Tov. It should be lukewarm water as opposed to hot water. Because if it is very hot, then there would be a restriction. There would be a gzeira. The gzeira would be, and you wouldn't be allowed to toivel. So the gzeira, so in principle, the gzeira's mechatz applies to tefillah as well. Yeah, but it,
you're not going to wash yourself.
You're not going to wash yourself. Yeah. Yeah. See, I don't know, and I'm taking your point. I don't know. The only thing which I can suggest in understanding the Mishnah Berurah is that that Tvila Be'etzem goes in the category of Rechitza. It is really a washing. Now, it is not a washing that we would normally do for hygienic purpose, but really it's a Rechitza. This is a Ruchnistige, it's a Rechitza which we do for a Ruchnistige purpose. It's a halachic rechitza, but really it's within the category of rechitza. It's the only way to understand the Mishnah Berurah. But you are saying that, one second, it's not even a rechitza, it should be included in the gzeiras mechatz in the first place.
Rechitza is to be physically clean, isn't it?
Yeah. But why would you say the gzeiras baronim doesn't apply to a mikveh?
Because let's say, today mikvehs are quite clean, but in the old days, they would break ice. Nobody wants to spend time
with that funding. Right. So you're quite, you're asking how come that a mikveh is in the category of gzeiras mechatz? Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. Yeah. Why is it in that category?
I thought that was double
headed. Yeah. The emphasis. I we should actually say siv gimel. Siv Gimel. Siv Gimel. We'll finish off with that, of course. Other mutalitvol beyamtem etumosay tvila. As far as that is, tvila is fine. There is no issa. We learned that tvila's keli is also yamtem because of the kemesaken. However, tvila's person is fine. Okay, very good. Thank you very much for reminding. Yes, over to you, Rabbi Kagan.
Okay, so we read Nitzavim this week from Vayelech, and we famously know that it says, "Atem Nitzavim Ayoyim Kulchem," you're all standing here today, and Moshe is saying, you know, you've been through so much through the desert, through the Midbar, and now through all these years, and you survived. You're standing here. You survived everything. So it's famously mentioned that refers to Rosh Hashanah as well, that we've been through this whole year, and this year in particular, been through a really trying, testing year, and yet we're all standing here, Kulchem Hayom, on Rosh Hashanah, asking for forgiveness, doing the Aseres Metshuva from Hashem. And the Pasuk says, in Perek Lamed, it just says, V'shavta ar Hashem Elokecha, you should return to Hashem your God, V'shamata b'koilo, listen to His voice, K'chol Asher Anoichi Mitzavacha Hayom, and everything I command you today, Ata, you, Uvanecha, your sons, V'kol Vavecha, with all your heart, with all your soul. So we should return to Hashem with all our heart and with all our soul. So starting off with Rosh Hashanah, we end off with Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah to eat. The Pasuk says, V'nisim es nafsho seichem, on the 9th of the month, but Erev, in the evening. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean in the evening, on the 9th, you should afflict yourself? Why is it V'nisim on the 9th? It's really on the 10th. So the Gemara says, because on the 9th is when you should eat, it's a mitzvah to eat, and if you eat, it's as if you have fasted as well. So what's the reason for this mitzvah to eat on the 9th, on Erev Yom Kippur? So Rashi says in the Gemara that it's a preparation for the fast. It's hachana for the fast. And Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva says, actually there are three reasons. Number one is that we should be happy that the next day is going to be a time of simcha. We're going to have kapara, you're going to have atonement. Therefore you should have a nice meal, eat the day before, in preparation for the great day of joy, of simcha, of the atonement happening on Yom Kippur the next day. Another reason he says is, well, normally on Yom Tov we have a suda. And this Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, we can't have a suda because we're fasting. Therefore we have the suda the day before on the 9th to make up for the fast, for the surah that we can't have on the 10th. Third reason, he says, you know why we eat? We eat so that you can strengthen yourself. When you eat a lot of food, that gives you strength for the fast. That's preparation for the fast. That's the Kunti Rabbeinu Yonah. So there are those three reasons, and there's a reason of Rashi. So the question is the 9th of... Is the 9th, is that a preparation linked to the fast? Or is it a mitzvah on its own to eat on that day? Do you eat on that day on its own? Or is it linked to the fast? The difference would be, let's say somebody can't fast on the 10th. He can't fast. Has he now got a mitzvah to eat on the 9th? Or not? If you say that it's linked to the fast, then he's okay. Because he's not going to fast on the 10th. He's okay. He doesn't need to eat. But if you're going to say it's a mitzvah by itself, then it doesn't care. Who cares what he does on the 10th? He has to eat on the 9th. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina would be, what sort of food do you have to eat? Do you have to eat nice, lavish food, like you're having a nice suda meal? If it's for the sake of the mitzvah itself, then you would have to have a nice meal as well for the sake of the mitzvah. But if it's just to prepare for the fast, then have whatever you can to eat for the fast. You know, if you couldn't take whatever you can have, some milkshakes which are going to prepare you nicely for the fast, do that. So that's another nafkamina. Just to end off, just finally, just with two different ideas, which I thought is quite nice, is another opinion says as follows. You know why we fast, why we eat on the 10th before we fast on, why we eat on the 9th before we fast on the 10th? Is because when you eat on the 10th, on the 9th, and you're going to fast on the 10th, it actually makes the fast harder. Because whenever you have a meal, the next day you actually feel more hungry. So therefore, that's the inui. So I think the Shibole Leket says that shot. It says that you're eating then to make the fast. That's the real inui. Venis and Sanchezechem, you've eaten for. Another nice pshat is that, or this is of the Rav Nevensol, who is, I think, the previous Rav of the Old City. Right? He says that, you know why we eat? It says on Rosh Hashanah, Va'asisem oila, you should make yourself an oila. And it's a bit of a strange lashon, because all the other korbanos, it says, for all the other Yom Tevim, it says, Ve'kraftem oila, you should bring an oila, bring a korban. Rosh Hashanah says, Va'asisem oila, in other words, make yourself into an oila. You're bringing yourself in front of Hashem, Va'asisem oila. So he says as follows, that's why we eat on the 9th, to fatten ourselves up for the 10th, because we're going to be the korban. It's as if we're giving ourselves to Hashem, we're going to be the korban on the 10th on Yom Kippur.
Nice.
We should all have a ksiva v'ksima toiva and have kapara.
Nice.